Welcome, if you're joining live. Good to see you. We have just had the most amazing time of worship, prophecy, and prayer. Fantastic. What the local church is for. Amen. Now it's the word. And what, sorry? Oh, yeah. There we go. Started. Let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for what you've said to us this morning already through the worship, through sharing, through prophecy, through the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we know you are with us. Thank you that you are so evidently here speaking to us. I just pray that we will have ears to listen, ears to hear. And thank you, Father, that now we are going to gather around your word. We're going to plant some seeds. Amen. Hallelujah. Plant some seeds in our heart. Incorruptible seed. Perfect seed. Seed that has been designed to produce fruit in our lives. So we thank you for your word, Father. Speak our understanding for that word. Understanding so that seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that the seeds grow in our hearts and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Really looking forward to this message. I've been loving preparing it. It's the best time of my week, getting ready and preparing for the sermon. It's just a privilege. And you know what? It just gets you so much into the word. Even if you're not a pastor, you should start writing sermons. It's a great way of getting into the word. The best way to learn something is to know you're going to have to teach it. So get into your word. Anyway, I'm going to carry on kind of where Nunzi left off last Sunday. I'm hoping I'm not going to steal too much for thunder for next Sunday. But here we go. So following on from last week where Nunzi gave that message about God's love, wonderful message about the love of God and how we need a deeper revelation of that. Yes, we can sit there and think, I know this. Yeah, you do. But you don't know it all. Carol, even I don't know it all. Oh, Carol's not here. Even I don't know it all. We need a deeper revelation of God's love. No matter what we know, we need to continue to learn. That's what Paul said, didn't he? As I have learned. So we need to learn, get a deeper revelation of this love that God has for every single one of us. And Nunzi mentioned she had three topics she was going to preach on. When I sprung it on her, well, I gave her a bit of warning. She doesn't like things sprung on her. So I gave her a few weeks' warning. And she was... Okay, I gave her a week's warning. 7 days? I mean, what more do you want? I mean, so... Probably... Okay, a few hours. Okay, Saturday night. No. And... And so she was working on it, meditating, praying. What am I going to preach on? And she came up with three topics. And she said she was going to preach on each one of them. And it was the second one that got my attention. I loved the message last week, but the second one I've been thinking on this week. And I've been meditating on it all week. And been going out for loads of walks. And just meditating on this. So hopefully I'm not steal too much of our thunder. But we were chatting about it last night as we were going around our walk. And the topic Nunzi's going to speak about, she's going to touch the spiritual side of it. I'm really focusing on the physical side of it. So hopefully there won't be too much treading on toes over the next 50 minutes or so. But it's a message I've preached on before. Most of my sermons are, amen. It's someone I've preached on before. So I'm going to preach on Acts 20. Verse 28. And this is Paul speaking. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's what I'm going to preach on. But I'll read the whole verse. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, that's fantastic. I can sit and put my feet up now because I'm not a pastor, I'm not an elder, I'm not a minister. You may be thinking. Because Paul's speaking to the elders of the church here. However, what do I keep telling that you all are? What are you all? Able ministers of the new covenant. You're all ministers. If you have breath left in your body, has anybody got breath left in their body this morning? A couple of amens, thank you. So if you have got breath in your body this morning, and are you a saint? Have you been born again? You're a minister. Yeah, not just any old minister, you're an able minister. An able minister of the new covenant. So this is for you as well. Because the second you walk out that door, you go and have a coffee. You're ministering. You're standing in the queue at Asda. You're chatting to the lady or the young lad. You're ministering. You meet people on the street, you're ministering. Every time you relate to another human being, you're an able minister of the new covenant. So this is for you. God, that got you quiet, didn't it? Hallelujah. So Nancy was saying her second topic has been sparked by a statement that she heard Jordan Peterson saying. Now, some of you may have heard of Jordan Peterson. I think he's one of the most influential philosophers of the 21st century. It is the 21st century, isn't it? I was about to say of the 20th century, and no, but 21st. And I love what he has to say. I love the way he says it. I love the distinct possibility that he's become a Christian. Not 100% certain, but I think he's there. Anyway, that's by the by. I've read his books, and I've just finished listening to the Audible version of the first book where the statement that Nunzi mentioned was written in. And it's in a book called The 12 Rules for Life. And the second rule states this. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Treat yourself like you are responsible for, like someone you are responsible for helping. And I remember when I first read that, had a huge impact on me because I couldn't believe the first page, the things that he was writing about. I had to go and study it out myself and find the research and all that. Because Jordan spoke about this survey that was done in North America. Now, I think if you do a survey in North America, it's going to translate into Western Europe. It's going to translate in the UK. It's going to translate into Scotland. It's going to translate into Lanbride, Murray. So this is speaking about us. And he spoke about a group of people who visited the doctor and then were surveyed. Okay? So they'd made the effort to go and see the doctor because there was something wrong with them. One third of those people, 33%, did not even go to the pharmacy with a prescription. A third of the people didn't even go and get the antibiotics, the steroids, whatever you want. A third of them didn't even go. The other two thirds did. Half of them didn't take the medicine. So if you work out the maths, which I can do, because I'm a mathematician, of all the people that went to the doctor, only a third of them took their medicine. All right? Now, get this. And no offense, Carl and Sean, okay, but that same group of people who were surveyed, those of them that went to the vets for their dogs, more people gave their dogs the medicine than they gave the medicine to themselves. Now, I just don't get that. That freaks me. I'm sorry, Carl. That freaks me out. I thought, Jordan, no. The stats are there. More people were looking after their dogs better than they were looking after themselves. Now, I'm not having a rant about dog owners, okay? That's not where I'm going this morning. If you want to see me having a rant about dog owners, come to the beach where bags are left. But we won't go there. Okay? We're not going there. So, but I find that utterly fascinating on a human psyche level. That you would make the effort to go to the doctor, but then not take the medicine. You'd make the effort to take your dog to the vet, but you'd give the medicine to the dog. What does that say about a human being? About what they think about themselves, how they Anyway, people seem to care more about their dogs than themselves. Incredible. And I remember thinking at a time when I read that first, what is going on here? And I couldn't get, I can see it now. I see it now after this week. These people were not taking Paul's advice and they were not taking heed of themselves. Paul says, take heed of yourselves. They weren't looking after themselves. So then the next question is, why? Why do people not look after themselves? And in an extension to Nunzi's message last week, I can see that as well now. People don't look after themselves because they don't love themselves. People don't love themselves. And this is the thrust of my message this week. I want to challenge you to love yourself. Look after yourself. Love who you are. God, it's gone really quiet now. Because a lot of you are sitting there thinking, I don't love myself. But I'm not going to look anyone in the eye unless I look at everybody. Okay, because I'm not picking on anyone. As I often say, I'm picking on every single one of you. As well as knowing that God loves us, which is really important. We need to know that. We ought to love ourselves. We ought to take care of ourselves. We ought to look after ourselves. We need to, in the words of Paul, take heed unto ourselves. Let's look at that Acts 20, 28 again. Let's read it again. Well, just the first bit. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. And the word is important. It's never in the wrong order. This is Paul talking to ministers. He says, take heed of yourselves. Then he says, take heed of your flock. We'll get onto that later. But if you're ministering to people, if you want to minister to people, how can you minister to people if you're 6 foot under? How can you minister to people if you're sick in your bed? How can you minister to people if you're so poor you cannot go out and use transport, blah, blah, blah? What good are you to people if you're not taking heed of yourself? Take heed is a very interesting word. You are going to love this word, ladies. Michelle's nodding her head. She's looked up already. What is the Greek word for take heed, Michelle? Prosecco. Oh, man. I was so hoping Michelle was going to be here this morning. It's... I know these two on the front are giggling away as well. The Greek word is prosecco. I read that and I thought, that's it. That's going to get the ladies' attention. Hallelujah. Prosecco. I swear that's how you pronounce it, Prosecco. It means pay attention to, see, I've got your attention now, haven't I? It means pay attention to, be cautious about, apply oneself to, attend, have regard for. Do you do that for yourself? Are you cautious about yourself? Do you attend to yourself? Do you pay attention to yourself? Do you have regard for yourself? Now, I'll mention about later, this is not a carte blanche for you guys to be selfish pigs. That's not what this is all about. No, I saw Lee tap him on the leg there. I was just following Lee's lead. So this is not about being selfish. There's a balance to this. We've all got a little bit red, I think. Anyway. Sorry, Grant. So pay attention to, be cautious about, attend to, have regards for yourself. Because the Greek word for yourself is really interesting. It means yourself. That's it. So you need to pay attention to yourself. You need to be cautious about yourself. Attend to yourself. Have regards for yourself. Paul is saying, look after yourself. Look after yourself. Before you look after your flock, he's saying to minister. But we can say that to everybody. Look after yourself before you do whatever you want to do, whatever your ministry is. And then, of course, if you're a minister, do the same for your flock. Or in all your case, for every other human being that there is. You look after yourself and then look after others. But his initial recommendation, the first thing he says to these elders is, look after yourself. Now, this message doesn't go down well. I gave this message with India and they just didn't get it. Because there's this martyrdom amongst ministers. I can't take a day off. I can't go on holiday. Don't worry, I'm not one of those, by the way. You will have noticed. You will have noticed I regularly go on holiday. Did you know I was in Australia earlier on? Earlier on there. No, he didn't. Josh, that's the first time you've heard that. So, look after yourself. And I don't think enough of us do that. I really don't think we do that. And I'm preaching to myself here. You know, more often than not, what I learn during the week is what I need, and then I preach it. I don't think we do that often enough. Yes, we are to be selfless and think of others. However, there are times where we kind of need to be selfish. We need to think of others. We need to be selfless, but not to the detriment of our health or our well-being. Look up Philippians 2 with me. Philippians 2, verse 25. And here's Paul talking about a chap called Epaphroditus. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you, that's to send to the Philippians, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Wow, this is an important section with regards to ministry, but also with regards to our walk with the Lord. Yes, I know we are to be selfless. Yes, I know we are to put others first. We need to think of others, but not to the detriment of our health. Epaphroditus was sick. It says he was working too hard in the ministry. Why? Because he was not regarding his life. He was not looking after himself. Not regarding his life. He did not take heed of himself. He did not look after himself. Oh, brilliant. Selfless, prideless guy. That's fantastic. Look at all that brilliant stuff he's doing. No, don't think like that. He can't work for Paul now. He's off somewhere else because he's sick. What use is he to Paul now? What use is he to Paul? No use. He's nearly worked himself to death. Why? Because he didn't look after himself. Now, oh, that's great. But what about all those people he worked with when he was working? Fantastic. They're great. What about all the other people in the future he's supposed to be working with? And he can't because he's sick. What use is Epaphroditus to Paul now? What use are you to others if you're not well in body and mind? What good am I to you if I'm burnt out, stressed, anxious, depressed, feeling sick? What good am I to the fellowship then? No good. We must look after ourselves. And one of the best ways to look after ourselves is to rest. Paul rested. Jesus rested. Remember, I'm going through 1 Thessalonians. What's the main theme of that? We are to imitate Paul, who imitated Jesus. Paul rested. Jesus rested. I'm telling you to imitate them. This morning. Look at Acts 14. I saw this week. Acts 14, verse 26. This is after Paul's first missionary voyage. 26 says, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Okay, well, what does all that mean? Paul's on sabbatical. Paul's taking a sabbatical. This is after his first missionary trip. I read this as he's taking a sabbatical, he's taking a holiday. Read this carefully again. I was really poring over this. Taking some of my own medicine on Friday, I went down to the captain's table, sat, had a coffee, watched the sea, went for a walk. I'm going to rest. But I was sitting at the table starting the sermon, doing my mind map and all that. And I saw this. You know, I looked at the pages, but I saw this is Paul having a sabbatical. Verse 26 talks about the past tense, what he'd done, the work they'd fulfilled. Verse 27 talks about rehearsing or going over what they had done. Verse 28 says they abode a long time with the disciples. Now, okay, it doesn't say explicitly they did not minister, but it doesn't say they did. Now, you can be on sabbatical and still minister. You know, I'm not saying don't do anything. But what I see here is Paul and his team having a time of rest, a time of recuperation, recharging the batteries, whatever you want to say. And it's in the Word. Paul had to do it after his first missionary trip. He went on a sabbatical. He had to rest because that was a hard trip. And after his sabbatical, he was going to go and do battle with the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem. He had to be ready. He had to have his battery recharged. He couldn't have just gone straight there. He's not superhuman. Well, he was, but you know what I mean? He's not. He needs to rest. Paul and his team rested, and they rested for a long time. That's what the word long means in Greek. Long. Jesus rested. I mean, we know he went to the mountains. He went to rest. He went to pray. We know Jesus slept. But do you know he rested when others were working? This is another bit of a revelation for me this week. Jesus rested right in front of his disciples when they were working. Go to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day, after a huge teaching session, by the way, on the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they take him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other lot ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Who was sailing the ship? The disciples. Who was looking after the sails or who was doing the rowing? Who was steering? Who was bailing the water out of the boat? Who was doing naff all? See, sometimes you need to look at the word and you just see it in a different way. Here's all the disciples working. Hey, some of them just happened to be fishermen. That would have been their job. The disciples, they were working. And they were working pretty hard by the sound of it. Jesus sleeping on a pillow at the back of the boat. So why was he sleeping in a pillow at the back of the boat? Because he was tired. I mean, sometimes you don't need deep theology. He was tired. He had to rest. He wasn't a fisherman. He wasn't the guy who needed to sail the boat. You're even allowed to rest when other people are doing work. I could do the whole Mary and Martha, but I haven't got time. Another week. He was resting. Why was he resting? Because he just finished teaching the parable of the sower to multitudes. And then he had a further teaching session with his disciples. He had a busy day. He was tired. I do a lot of teaching, you know that. Teach here, but I teach whiskey courses. I know how tiring it is to teach. And you know what I do after a day's teaching? I sleep, Josh. Yes, I go back to my hotel room and I sleep. After having fed my daughter, obviously, because it's normally in Edinburgh. Or I do maths. But I normally sleep. Why? Because I'm tired. It is tiring teaching. Especially if you've been at it all day. Jesus needed to rest, even while others were working. He prioritized his rest over helping in a task that someone else could do. See, that's good. When I wrote that down, I thought, Vic, that is good. He prioritized his rest even over when other people could have done with his help. But that wasn't his expertise. Okay, eventually he got up and he said, that's it. Like, stop. And he did. But he prioritized his rest over helping in a task that someone else could do and should do. Here's a lesson for us. Learn the art of delegation in life. Paul rested, he took heed of himself. Jesus rested, he took heed of himself. We need to do the same in order to operate at the levels that are then required post-rest. After his sabbatical, Paul just didn't lay around on the beach all day. After his sabbatical, Paul went to Jerusalem and discussed and debated with the elders and the apostles and changed the course of the church history. Did something huge after his sabbatical. After his rest, Jesus calmed the storm and the waves. What are you going to be able to do after you've rested? What are you going to be able to do after you're refreshed? After your batteries have been recharged? Or what are you going to fail to do if you don't rest? What are you going to fail to do if you don't take a sabbatical now and again? We cannot operate to the best of our abilities given to us by God if we're sick, if we're tired, if we have poor mental well-being. We can't. And one way to ensure we're operating tip-top is to rest. We need to take a leaf out of Paul's life and a leaf out of Jesus' life and rest. Look after ourselves. Love ourselves. And here's another slant on why we should. I don't often use the should word, do I? No, you don't, Vic. No, I don't often use the should word. But you should look after yourself, love yourself, because of Psalm 139, verse 14. Psalm 139, verse 14. Okay, this is David speaking, but we know if it's good enough for David, it's good enough for us. Here's David saying, I will praise thee. It's a good start. You up for that? Lord, I will praise thee. Why? Because you're just so fantastic. And you're no, because I'm marvelous. Can you say that? That's what this is saying. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Do you know right well that you're marvelous? Do you know right well you have been fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you know right well he is proud of you? He is proud of his workmanship. Do you know right well that he loves you? Psalm 139:14 is all about that. You were created. Forget about this. Forget about this nonsense of the theory of evolution. It's a theory. Carl, the second law of thermodynamics disproves evolution. There you go. And that's an axiom. But never mind. We'll do that another week. You were created. You are his workmanship. And his workmanship, his works are marvelous, amazing, phenomenal, fabulous. You are fabulous, darling. And get this, you do not belong to you. You do not belong to you. You belong to him. He made you. He created you. He put breath in your life and breath in your body. He keeps life and breath in your body. He's given you all the skills that you have, all the expertise, all the know-how to get things done. He's given that to you. He owns that. You don't own yourself. You belong to him. Just imagine you're walking along the road or in your house, sitting with your feet up, and God turns up, right? And he says, Lee, Zahn, I've got this most beautiful, wonderful object, and I want you to look after it. Here it is. Here it is. Take it and look after it. Now, let's imagine it's an ornament. You're going to protect it. You're going to polish it. You're going to dust it. You're going to put it in a place of honor. You're going to make sure it's not dropped and broken. If it's a plant, you're going to water it. You're going to feed it. You're going to put it in the light. You're not going to let it dry out. You're going to wipe its leaves. At this point in preparing the message, I watered my plants. And you know what? I even wiped their leaves. Let's imagine it's an animal, for example. What are you going to do? You're going to feed it properly. You're going to take it for exercise that it needs. You're going to clean its bedding. You're going to comb its hair. You're going to play with it. Let's just imagine God has given you something wonderful to look after. Folks, he has. Yeah, Evelyn, you're right. Me. God has given you something precious to him to look after and care for, and that thing is you. He made you, he created you, and he's given you to you. We have a right to take heed of ourselves. We have an obligation to take heed of ourselves. I always say he's got a plan and a purpose for you as well. You know, yeah, we're all going to pop our clogs eventually. Long time yet, I've got so much to do. But I kind of do all those things if I'm near here. And I'm not going to be here if I don't look after myself. This is like the Ladybird Book of Theology. This is not difficult, this stuff. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are his workmanship. And you need to be able to say this. We are marvelous. I tell you, I am amazing. I am an absolute wonder of engineering and physics and biology. I am awesome. I am fantastic. I am absolutely marvelous. And somebody could snip that and think, look at that egotistical. But only, it's a good word, only because I've been created by him for a purpose. That's what makes me marvelous. We have an obligation to look after what he's made. You know, if you're like me, you marvel at creation. You love creation. I just love being in creation. It calms me. It fills me with joy. We need to look after it. Nunzi and I go for regular walks, this 3-mile walk. Same one every time. I have another one but we're not allowed to do it because that's boring. But so we've got this 3 miles that we do, and it's never boring because we're in creation. There's a couple of times we've marveled at a barn owl. There was one time it's flying along the little barn, and the next time it was flying through the trees. Just a marvel of engineering and aerodynamics. Not a sound of those wings. We stopped recently and we were flabbergasted by the beauty of a dragonfly. Its colours was huge, the size of its wings, it was staggering. I'm reading a book at the moment about wasps, a marvel of creation. I now understand why we have wasps. I never used to understand that. That was one of the questions I was going to ask God. God, why wasps? I know now. They're marvels. They're marvels of creation. They're amazing. We love creation. We marvel at it. We try to protect it. Why do we not protect the pinnacle of creation? Why do some of us not look after the pinnacle of creation? And you know who the pinnacle of creation is? Me. You. We are the pinnacle of creation. Amen. This body that we are in for a short time, yeah, it is a short time, but it still needs looked after. This body we're in for such a short time is a marvel of creation and deserves to be cared for, deserves to be cherished and looked after, deserves to be loved. Nunzi spoke last week about some of us needing a deeper revelation of God's love for us. There's another problem in the church. That we do not love ourselves. We need to love ourselves. That's why I don't think we take our medicine. That's why I think we don't go to the doctor. That's why I don't think we ask for prayer. You know, we don't do things that we should do. Because some of us think we're not worthy. We're not worth it. We are. We are so worthy. We're so worth it. Because we've been created for a purpose by a loving creator. I don't think we love ourselves. You know, we often talk about being stewards in this fellowship. I think we know about that concept, about being a steward of what God owns. Normally we talk about it about finances, about money. You know, all the things we have, all the money we have, it's not our money. It's his money, and we are stewards of it. We look after his money. We use his money wisely. We don't waste his money. We've got that, haven't we? That concept of stewardship, of being a steward. We also talk about stewarding our skills and our expertise. You know, the guys back home laugh at my brain and the way it works, but that works great for me, and it's helped me in my career and what I do, and God created me like that. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm like that. But I have these skills and expertise given by God, and I need to steward them. Pauline is an amazing artist. Not because she's... well, you probably did teach yourself and all that. But Pauline's got this innate skill of being an artist that God gave her. And you've all got other skills that God gave you. You are a marvel of creation, Josh. A marvel of creation. You've got loads of skills and expertise that God wants you to use. So we get that. We steward that. Let's start thinking about our body and our mind in the same way. He gave us them. Why don't we steward them like we steward our money and steward our skills? We are stewards of this body that he's given us. We need to be good stewards in that area. I challenge you today. Take heed of yourself. Look after yourself. I challenge you to love yourself. Not in an arrogant, prideful way. I love me. I love me. I'm absolutely fantastic. I love me. No, it's not like that. But love what God has made. Love what God has created. Love what God has made you to do. Love how God has equipped you. Love yourself. And rest. Refresh yourself. Feed yourself properly. Give yourself exercise. What you would do to your dog. You know, do it yourself. You know, take yourself for a walk. Threw a stick, chase it. You know, whatever you need to do. Yeah. Sean, take a ball with you next time you go out for a walk with Carl. You know. Treat yourself like someone you're responsible for helping. Look after yourself. Now, not often you'll hear a pastor say this. I'm going to say it today. I challenge you to be a wee bit selfish. Yeah, just a wee bit. Just a wee bit, Josh. I don't think I need to get Josh is really good at wrestling. So I'm probably preaching to the convert. We've been on a few walks, and I know how Josh operates. You know, we can joke about it, but it's really important. I'm not doing this because I'm going to the gym and all that. I'm going to the gym and all that because I've realised this. Yes, we were in Australia, right? And we're chatting about things. And I was getting to the stage in my life where I was worried I wouldn't see my grandson. Oh, you haven't got a grandson, Vic. Yes, I know. But Cash is going to be here one day. And I need to be here for Cash. Sorry, that's Jay's first son is going to be called Cash. After Johnny. So I need to be here for Cash. Why? Because my family need me. I'm going to be no good to my family, you know, once the insurance runs out. You know, but that would be a great help at the first year or so. But after that, I'm not going to be no good for you guys if I'm not here. No good for my family. Good. And the first day I was there at the personal training session, Dan said, "What's your aim, Vic?" "What's my aim?" "My aim is to officiate at Cassius' wedding." I was not even born yet. And I know you're doing the maths. Yeah, I know you're working it out. Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to be the fittest, leanest, healthiest 80-year-old that's ever done a wedding. Or 85, or 90, or whatever it needs to be. Because I'm here for Cassius's wedding. Now, I won't be if I don't take heed of myself. I won't be if I don't look after myself. So this is as much for me as it is for you guys. But this week, it was just, Nunzi said that, treat yourself like someone you're responsible for helping. We need to help ourselves. We need to take heed of ourselves. We need to love ourselves, look after ourselves. And that may be a little bit selfish. Now, I'm not giving you carte blanche to be lazy gets. That's not this. And I'm not going to say anyone's name who just happened to look at anyone. Or I'm not going to do that this time. That's not what this is. I mean, it's another message. But we see the mess David got into when he was king and he'd nothing to do and he lay in bed all day and then he only got up just to have fun. And oh, what did he see? Oh, and we know what happened after that. So I'm not saying you don't work, you don't do things, but you've got to prioritize. Prioritize looking after yourself because your family needs you. Your friends need you. Your local church needs you. Your community needs you. Now, yeah, I know if you're not here not doing that, you're partying in heaven. I get that. Hallelujah. Fantastic. That's awesome. But there's a time for that. And it's not now. Your time now is to make a difference out there. And you can't do that if you're not here. You can't do that if you're sick, poor, bad mental well-being. We can't do that. So I challenge you, refresh, rest, feed yourself properly, give yourself exercise, be nice to yourself, treat yourself. That's really good. So when I hit my recent target weight, I treated myself. Just happened to be a breakfast bacon naan, but I treated myself. It felt really good. Because I You know, I said, Vic, you get to that weight, you're going to get a breakfast naan. I'm going to buy you a breakfast naan. I said, thank you, Vic. I'll really enjoy that. And I did. Be nice to yourself. Treat yourself. Rest. Refresh. Eat properly. Exercise. Whatever we need to do. Whatever we need to do to keep going. Because you have got so much to do. We have got so much to do. You have plans and purposes from the Lord that some of you can't even imagine. And you're going to impact so many people if you heed after yourself, if you look after yourself. Treat yourself like someone you're responsible for helping. Amen. Hallelujah.